Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hi. I was just recounting. This is Carrie, by the way. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for being here. Your life has changed forever.
I'm in a frazzled state right now. Mm-hmm. I can't find my car keys. I think they might be in my car, but I had to Uber over here in the nick of time.
One Uber, please.
There's a lot going on in West Hollywood right now.
There's so much going on.
There's Pride. There's the life cycle. Yeah. So there's traffic everywhere.
Life cycle ends at the entrance of my apartment.
Yeah. Like it's like they're outside your door.
They cycle through
the courtyard.
They all run over me.
They cycle through the...
through one entrance of the courtyard and out the other.
But like, you know, I'm hightailing it over here. I'm like looking around. And then I get to you. And all I wanted to do was talk about what I just saw, which was Lady Gaga.
I'm so jealous.
My boyfriend Simon got me it for my birthday.
When's your birthday?
It happened.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it already happened. But he surprised me a few months ago and was like, I'm just going to tell you what I'm doing for you. And then we went.
Magical. Where'd you stay?
We stayed at the Cosmopolitan.
Love.
Which was so nice.
And I haven't been there, but it looks chic.
It's like Blade Runner. It's like so hot. Like there, it's in this part of the strip that is very... new and like there's the Aria and all, and they're just all really imposing and they all have balcony. So we had a balcony on like the 32nd floor. Tony's loving this.
Tony is in a crate. He's adjusting to it. I have a crate now downstairs where I pod so that he can be privy to the goings on.
I can't even look at him right now, though.
You can't make eye contact with him because it will start him on a journey of, like, protesting.
Yeah. Also, I just can't look at him going...
I know. It's like he really pulls at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is he's okay in there. Now, see, you looked at him.
I mean, he has a plush pad in there.
He's really... It's plushed out.
Oh, look at him.
He's being dramatic. He loves a crate.
Dramatic son.
He is so dramatic.
He
went to the vet today and had a great time.
I'm proud of him.
Hugely impressed everyone.
Were you like, proud?
He's so chill. I was very proud. I said, I'm so proud of you. You did a great job today.
Did he? And I think he probably heard you say it.
Yeah, he did.
And everyone was like, remark. I love when people remark. I'm like, ugh.
They were like, ugh, he has such a good temperament.
Yeah.
He's so
chill.
He
really does have... like instant calming vibes when you hold him.
He's a true prescription.
Yeah.
Pad.
Oh, look, he's good now.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, it was great. It was at the Park MGM. Everyone should go. She's there. I was just saying she's there for 2 years, which I had no idea
about.
Yeah,
there's no excuse not to go. I thought it was 2 weeks, and
no.
I was like, well, I guess I won't see it, but no, I'll go.
I think it'll probably be like...
It was so expensive, like,
I know.
This time around, because I was there's a show, which... was right after my birthday.
Right.
That weekend. And I was like, maybe I do this. And then it was like, maybe I don't.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I think some seats were going for $6,000. Like,
it
was crazy. And it wasn't even, it's like a 1,200, you know, it's not like
I love like an intimate space like that.
Yeah. I mean, you could feel it was pretty crowded, but it felt like, because last time I saw her was Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. So like just the difference. And she was, you know, we were standing room, which was, I think, the best way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so close. And like, first of all, she's so tiny in person, which I'd forgotten.
5'2".
Yeah, 5'2". 5'2" on Netflix streaming. And my boyfriend noticed, like, when she stands, I was like, oh, she does do that. She, like, it's like, I think it's a performance thing, but even when she's just standing and talking to the crowd, she's, like, pushing her chest out.
Mm.
She's kind of, like, standing almost like she's, like, on her tippy toes. Yeah, like her body is forward, and it, like, I think it makes her seem bigger.
Wow.
I don't know. It's like, it's all very, I don't know. She's just really compelling to watch. And obviously, I was freaking out. And
she's a true star.
Surrounded by my little monster brethren and sisters. And, you know, I put my fucking paws up.
Yeah.
I did. At first, I was like,
if you put a paw up, that's just like your claw hand, right?
Yeah, it's three.
Oh, it's just three.
It's like, and she, it only happens when she instructs you to.
Okay.
So, like,
there are rules.
Yeah. I mean, there were cues, there were, like, things that she said that I didn't even know. So I was like, maybe I'm not that much of a little monster. But then I was.
Yeah.
As soon as she said, put your paws up, I was like, the first time I was hesitant. And then the rest of the time I was like, yes.
It was like you were a dog in that moment.
Yeah, I was.
Where she instructed you to do something.
Yeah. She also, like, was just so funny. And there was, you know, there's this whole... anime storyline going on with the Enigma with her. It's like, it's cheesy as hell, but it's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't take it seriously. And she at one point commanded the audience to scream, go fuck yourself at her. And she was like, I want to hear it. I want to feel it. And like, if you hate me, like, I want to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, she just, and then she was like, after everyone said that, she goes, good. Was that good for you? Was that what you needed? And she goes, obviously I've been to therapy. So I think this is what we all needed. Like, it was just like...
I love her.
Right? I was like, oh my God.
Queen in our midst.
She like wanted... It was just very... I don't know. She's brilliant.
I love it. She is brilliant.
Yeah. And it's 2.5 hours.
Ugh, so that's you like get your bang. Like almost as long as a Dead show.
Oh my God. It's like Fish.
That. Does she have a set break?
Yeah, she has like a band that are really amazing. One of her set breaks was just pure heavy metal. Like, it was
sick.
Just these guys, like this hot lead guitarist without a shirt on, and then these like kind of middle-aged men. And they were just like, it was like really heavy.
Chic.
She did a David Bowie cover of I'm Afraid of Americans. That was awesome, which she did with this like keyboardist. Sorry, this is like, I hope everyone's getting a great...
You've gone full Little Monster.
I was fully, yeah, I was...
What was the song where you storied her, like, doing something with her leg?
Oh, no, she just, at one point, she was wearing this, like, it almost looked like Mila Jovovich's bandage outfit,
mm-hmm.
but, like, glittery.
So
she looked so, her body looked amazing. And she like clearly is doing so many Pilates and yoga, and like I need to do whatever she's doing. Mm-hmm. But she at one point just shoved her foot into this guitar and was strumming it with her like heel.
Chic.
And then playing the piano. Like she was just going like that. And then at one point she was just going like riffing, and then she just put her foot down and just looked at the guy and went and walked off. And everyone was like, ah! It's amazing. That's it's like incredible. Her play. It's Gaga's playground, and we're just playing in it.
I love it when people just go crazy on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I love, because like it feels very raw and in the moment. And mm-hmm. like, I love ugly performance. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. We were kind of saying that.
Yeah,
offline.
She comes out. You know, she comes out swinging. She's in like, it looks like alien, like elongated skull. She's wearing this like very unflattering, chunky, like, you know, looks like chainmail almost. This big suit. And she's just with holding a keyboard guitar, just swinging around. And she's just, you know, pushing her little feet out like frogs. And it's not like, you can just tell she's like, I know this isn't flattering, but I don't care.
Like, I love a blatantly unsexy move.
And it was sexy because, you know what I mean? Like, it was so unsexy that it was.
How unsexy it is.
Yeah. And I was thinking,
because it's so confident, and you're just like, I'm gonna do this weird fucking thing,
and like, not, she just had her like her lips, she was doing like fish mouth with like neon orange, she was going bop bop, and I was thinking, no other like pop star of that is like doing, is okay like being that,
no,
weird. I don't know.
Katy Perry, just literally, I saw her, she just runs back and forth.
Yeah.
She's fully just like running, sprinting around, like trying so hard. She's just running.
Denise.
She runs and then sits on something and then gets up and runs again.
And it's like...
Yeah, she's like a hamster in a cage.
I mean, Pink was like that too.
Pink, but she does like acrobats.
Yeah,
Pink is like on another level.
Have you told your listeners that you saw Pink?
Oh, yeah.
And we saw it together last year, and it was like, we were...
Yeah.
You were weeping at one point.
I cried.
I turned and Laura was...
Tears streaming down my face. Pink got me.
We all were Pink heads after.
Yeah.
She's wild.
Yeah, she's fucking wild.
But
she's like sexy.
Yeah, it's like...
But it's like acrobat. It's a different genre. Beyonce is like full choreographed wind machine. There's nothing like it. And the dances is incredible.
Yeah, it's like perfection.
Britney is like... God help our queen.
Yeah. She's just getting through it.
She's getting through it. She's doing her... You gotta give it up to her for that.
Katy Perry, who makes a cameo in this episode of High Society.
Oh my God, yeah. To bring it all back around full circle.
But we'll get to that in a second. But Katy Perry does... She's just panting. She's going... How's everyone feeling tonight? You know, like, she just, her face is like, she's got the rosy cheeks. How's everyone feeling?
Runs out to the middle, screams things, and then runs back to the other side of the stage.
Tonight, we are all together here. Everyone is welcome in my house. You know, it's just like, just very performative, like, you know.
In lieu of any sort of dancing or... Even good singing.
She just shoots like confetti out of her like cone titties.
Yeah, and
just, like,
does something like plays like a silly basketball game, but like with a huge basketball that's like the size of a dining table.
And comes out like wearing like a bald cap at one point and is like, ha 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 ha.
And then, like, runs around.
Didn't you say, this could be off the record, but didn't you say Florence was just running around?
Florence is also a runner.
You can cut this
she
out.
She runs, but she's barefoot. It's very ethereal. It's a different kind of run energy. She runs like she's in The Sound of Music, like running up a hill and then like staring out and then running up another hill and then just like dancing barefoot. It's like a fairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fairy.
A fairy.
I felt like kind
Florence
of...
Florence was like, if I imagine like if Kristen Doty went to go see Florence and the Machine, she would feel like moved in the same way that like Fleetwood Mac moves her. It's a different kind. Katy is desperately running around.
Yeah, she's like...
Katy's doing full-blown cardio.
Katy knows she has to work.
Yeah.
Because look, she's made some bops. She's like, she's a queen, but she like... She knows that, like, I'm gonna keep this momentum, and I'm gonna run around, you know? Like, it's,
she's
like,
doing whatever it takes.
She's doing, like, suicides, like, on the basketball court. That's just, that's the perfect, like, summation of her whole career.
Mm-hmm.
It's just her being, like...
It's her running and shout singing.
Yeah. everybody. She does like weird accents.
Yeah. She went at one point, like, got, I think she called her mom, maybe like a prank call. It's a lot of like prankster. It caters, I think, to like a young audience.
Yeah.
But I still loved it. She's, I'd go back.
Yeah. Wow. She's like, you know, like how Ellen is a prankster.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like,
oh, they're so, they love their prank journey.
They love pranks.
They love to prank.
I'm afraid to say anything about Ellen.
I know. I feel like I've said things about Ellen that have shown how I feel about her without having to explicitly say it, and I'm terrified that like she'll.
But I watch her. Sorry, what were you saying?
I'm just terrified that she'll like.
Yeah,
she'll have her revenge on me yet.
Yeah, she's like a slow. Like, she's a slow burner revenge.
She's like. She knows, or I believe she like has ears everywhere that they like then write down in Ellen's like burn book, like names of people that have wronged her, and it just like page thousands and thousands of pages, but it's like cross referenced within her like archive.
Yeah, it's like Gilead like eyes. She, yeah, but I watch her videos every day, like almost every day.
I love the Ellen Show.
I don't love it, but like I'll every like few days I'll watch like today, just a few hours ago, I was watching Jen Aniston's most recent, because it comes, it's like the most
recent
YouTube, you know, like on featured YouTube.
And like the interviews are good. Like I like her interview style, and like I like her show and her persona, but it's like just from what I've heard allegedly, like it's not like she's not as nice as she seems. That's all I've heard.
I've heard from someone who's heard, she, you can tell there's like an edge to her, but that's, she would but be, like, I don't blame her. Like she's a lady, she's a lesbian in the industry,
and she's been at it for a long fucking time.
She's had to like,
did you ever see Mr. Wrong? I loved that.
Yeah.
Movie.
With
Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was so hot in that.
So
era.
Hot. And it's
and
just
like,
a
I believe
classic.
Them.
Yeah. Like I'll
I
even,
believe them.
I'll even rewatch it and be like, they're straight. Even
also,
though she ain't.
And the Ellen Show was funny.
Yeah.
Like, it was a great show. But no, she's a trailblazer for sure. And like, I have a lot of respect for her. But yeah. But like, it's weird watching interviews of like people who are friends. Like, whenever she has like Jen Aniston on, she's like, your birthday party was great, you know, or like, and then Jen's like, well, you know, and like she's flattering her, and Jen's just like, oh, thank you so, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
Jen does that like,
we had fun
in Cabo, yeah,
margaritas,
yeah.
I love Jen Aniston. I just picture her with like a margarita in her hand.
Yeah, I picture Jen Aniston like tripping over like a little two stone on her back terrace, and like at dusk, and like tripping over like a patio furniture.
Yeah,
just going like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
And just being like,
klutz.
Laughing, but no one's there.
Yeah, like, laughs and laughs.
Lets out a little giggle. She's like, it's like she's waiting for the laugh track.
Yeah,
she's always Rachel.
Always. She was born Rachel.
She'll never not be.
Mm-mm. Done.
And I feel like for a while, maybe she tried to, which I understand, she tried to, but I feel like she's leaning in more.
Yeah.
And
just
I am,
go with it.
I, for one, am ready to watch her and Tig Notaro be a lesbian president and first lady couple.
Where are they doing that?
Oh, they're doing a show on one of the streamings where Jen is the president and Tig is the first lady.
Major.
Speaking of major, so this episode of High Society is fucking wild.
It's wild. So many things are happening, yet nothing happens. It's keying up to give it you like all the revelations.
But what I noticed about this episode was that they clearly filmed the pilot like months earlier because the budget seems so much bigger for this, and the production seems more cohesive. Like the editing is so much better than this episode.
The editing is, but I think they're jumping back and forth in time and a lot of things. Like I think all the stuff with Jules was probably filmed over the course of like a day, like her getting kicked out of that hotel. It probably was like all day. She just like railed on people, and then at 2 a.m. they finally were like, leave.
Yeah,
and they play that out all season.
I think that's probably what happened. But
speaking of Jules, I was doing deep dives to see like what I could find, which was not much, but I did see some articles that she had said that all of her all of her sound bites were taken out of context.
Oh my God.
And then this one website had published like the actual quotes that she had given, which was, she said, "I didn't want to go to one club because there was going to be rap music and black guys, and I only like white guys. I use the N-word sometimes, but I really think it should be okay to say. If a guy can say whore, they should be able to say the N-word," which is still not great to say. She's like, it's out of context. You don't know what I whole thing that I said.
I only say it like on Mondays.
Yeah. And then she goes, "But the thing is, I don't say it derogatorily. Like, I say it like I say, dude. And sometimes I do say it angrily." So you say it then.
So she
So you fully use the N-word.
She's a fucking white supremacist.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the quote is long.
And then she's,
you know what? I actually do remember. I think I've been on this site.
I love doubling down, being like, you took it out of context.
I only say it every other day.
Yeah. Here's what I truly
said. No, I'm definitely not tolerant. I definitely am picky about who I want to be around. And if I don't want to be around somebody, I'm not going to make it work out. I don't like to waste my time with people I don't want to be with. I think I'm a little bit obsessive compulsive, especially when it comes to the way that people look. So I love she's rationalizing racism with being OCD.
Yeah.
And I would prefer to look at someone who's more like one of my friends. My friends do not tend to be homosexuals and unattractive and fat people. So you're
cool.
A fucking bigot. You're a homophobic piece of shit, racist, white supremacist, anti-Semite, because you have OCD.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Makes sense.
Go fuck yourself, Jules. That's what I had to say about that.
Coming to you live from a wind tunnel. It's Jules Kirby.
Like,
she's like,
yeah,
like just being blown about.
How? And she, I'm not gonna excuse being like, oh, she was a kid when she did this. She was like,
she was like 35.
So
she's ageless.
What's so great about this episode is that it's, I think they tried, I love,
they try and make narrative where there is none.
Okay, so I love Tinsley's Carrie Bradshaw voiceovers.
"I'm about to take you into a world where nothing is as perfect as it seems."
But she's like, unpacking your life is especially weird when you're trying to, like, she's like, anything can make you remember it. A bowl, a picture frame.
A bowl is what I had in my notes.
Yeah. A bowl or a picture frame. And then they cut out and you see,
like a bowl
or a picture frame. And then on Tinsley's wall in this new apartment is a painting of a founding father.
Probably that Mortimer. Think that she comes from a line of founding fathers, or Topper definitely did.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just, it's so like, you're in your early 30s. Like, this is your, like, you want this aesthetic?
Yeah, all her furniture is still grandma furniture, but
it
in
is.
Like a newfangled apartment. So there's like just a real clash of sensibilities.
What I
and
want.
Her bookshelves are so empty. There's
I know.
Just like lion sculptures on there, like those kind of like
yeah.
chintzy, like lion uh-huh. things.
What I want most in my apartment that is a terrifying portrait of my ancestor. That's what I want. Greeting me every day when I walk in.
Yeah. Like your ancestors that definitely like were in slavery.
Yeah. Cuz she's from fucking Richmond.
You learn a lot about yourself when you're unpacking things and starting over. Like a bowl.
Like a bowl. Or a picture frame. And then it's, you see her and Alex or Dabney. Dabney are like unpacking her horrible, like, I think fairly garish.
Her like antique furniture.
Yeah. But it's like not cute antique furniture.
No, it's like
stuffy and haunted.
Yeah.
It's cursed.
It's fully cursed.
They're
like unpacking, just like taking paper out of like a box.
Yeah.
And Dabney's like, I'm painting my nails.
Tinsley says this great thing. I can never wear
flat shoes. Which is a lie, because later in the episode she's wearing like Converse.
Yeah. She's like, even when I'm barefoot, I have to be on my tippy toes because flat feet, and she goes,
ugh. Love that. A bold-faced lie. Like a bowl.
As a woman, how does that make you feel?
I mean, I know women that, like, love their heels.
Yeah.
But I'm already tall, so I feel sometimes, like, garishly huge in a heel.
Yeah.
Because I'll just go to, like, be like 6'7".
Right.
And then I feel like that tall, awkward girl. So I just don't usually wear a heel.
Yeah. I mean, if
but like, if I love that for Tins. And I think she's really small. So she like, works in a heel.
If she wants that, I support it. Yeah. That's her journey and I respect it.
You know what? Do you, Tinsley.
But then she, I just love imagining her like tippy-toeing around her apartment.
Yeah.
With her founding father painting staring at her.
Paul and Jules meet at the Flat Hotel, which is like...
I think I've walked by it before.
We've all walked by, yeah. I feel like.
It's like, it feels like a weird European...
It's like a European hostel.
Yeah.
But like not.
And there's like a vending machine probably right behind them that we can't see. But she, Paul's like, I want to meet Jules. Sorry. Paul's like, I want to
meet Jules.
I'm here to meet Jules to bury the hatchet.
Yeah. And then Jules comes blowing in. Yeah. And she's like, hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
And there's some affection in her voice.
They love hating each other. Yeah. It gives them like purpose and meaning.
Hi, Paul. And he goes, hi, Jules. And
well, she's I think they're also like being told what to do in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, you're going to have an argument and like get in a fight. And I think that they truly like they're both kind of coming at it with like a bit of a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But then they also like have to have this fight.
Yeah.
And that also, I think that he does have angry feelings towards her and she does towards him, but it's like very clearly produced. Yeah.
And they don't, she's not wearing a back. She's wearing a backless top.
Oh yeah. And just, he goes,
in the midday.
I'm glad you came. That was big of you.
Yeah.
And then she sits down and they just stare at each other
she goes,
for
so
like 30
want,
seconds.
What do you have to say to me? And he goes, nothing. I don't apologize for anything I did. I don't apologize for anything I said to you, the way I treated you, how I got in your face. I do apologize to Alex for throwing things in her face, but not to you. And then Jules goes, okay, I'm not going to stand for this. And she gets up and he goes, fine, have fun with your crackberry.
She goes, She goes, whatever, Paul, like, I'm not some freak. Like, she's like, you're delusional. You think I'm, like, talking about you all the time. Like, I'm not. And he goes, I don't think you're talking about me, but don't call me delusional.
Yeah, she's like...
She goes, then don't steal phones. Like, you're just always stealing phones. And he goes, I don't need your crackberry.
I have my iPhone. Back when iPhone was, like...
When iPhones had, like, come out 2 years prior, and they were a necessity.
But he goes...
And then Jules gets up and walks out. She's like, I don't have to take this.
Yeah, and he goes...
Bye, Jules.
Nice hair.
Bag and great hair.
Great bag, Jules, and nice hair.
Nice bag and great hair, which truly, I think it was maybe 9 years ago when the show came out, I watched this scene, and the biggest burn to this day in just my knowledge is nice bag and great hair. That's something I think about every single day since I've ever seen this episode.
Paul's brilliant. He just knows how to churn them out.
Nice bag and great hair.
Great hair, Jules. And then you just see her like sauntering out. And that probably
not great hair and like a whatever bag.
And they flash to her after
she hated
little.
That burn.
She looked like she had tears in her eyes.
Yeah.
Like that probably killed her. And that's why I love Paul.
Because you know, she's like not insecure about much, but she is about her hair.
And her bag. Yeah.
Like, she probably, like, really wanted to get that bag.
Yeah, she probably, like, walked to the river and, like, smoked a cig. And it was freezing out, and she's wearing, like, a beaded...
Why is she wearing, like, a backless shirt? Everyone... Tinsley also later goes on a date, and it's, like, sleet raining.
Yeah.
And she's wearing, like, a tank top and a skirt with no coat.
I feel like it was around the holidays, so maybe it was, like, one of those weird, like, humid days in December.
Everyone else was wearing
coats.
That's
true.
And even the ice skaters were like bundled up.
But we'll get to that.
One of those girls that like in Chicago, there would be girls like this all the time where they would just go out in like a spaghetti strap dress and just be like freezing because they didn't want to wear a coat because they want to look cute.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're literally going to get everyone sick with pneumonia because you're freezing.
That's why Jules...
Get a fucking nice coat. Check it at the coat check.
That's why Lohan Jules has mono.
Yeah.
Because she never wanted to wear a coat.
Bye, Jules.
Nice bag and great hair. Paul.
Hats off to you,
kiss.
Paul.
So Jules and Dabney go and pick out... They go to Fret.
I think it's Frette.
Frette. To pick out...
Their monogram sheets.
Dabney's like, I think it would be really fun for us to go and get monogram sheets and robes and matching robes for our new apartment. I'm like, okay, first of all, you guys are adults.
Yeah.
This is weird.
This is some like...
This is bizarre.
This is a really specific type of wealthy person that does like monogram everything.
Yeah.
Like... It has never computed to me and has never been my journey, but I feel like I've known a lot of girls that are just like monogram girls.
Yeah. But I mean, it's cute. I think it's cute sparingly, but I think to do it with your fucking roommate and when you're living in a hotel,
yeah,
is bizarre. And also you're in your 30s.
And Jules is like, every girl I know, most of the girls have like frette sheets, like monograms.
Yeah.
I love that she's how over her like interview she is. Like, she's not even like trying. She's just sitting there being like,
and the camera will
whatever. Yeah.
Like, very slowly on her. It's, mm-hmm. The producers just were probably in heaven with this girl.
Yeah, they were loving it.
But she's like, every girl I know, but Dabney picked them out and I don't like them. I don't like the font. It's like, okay, should be the least of your problems. You're getting matching sheets. You're getting monogram sheets with your fucking roommate.
Yeah.
Not your partner, not like your, like, just some friend that you're living with and you're in your late 20s.
Are they getting their names separately monogrammed, or they're getting like J and D?
I think they got...
like a mashup of both their names.
Yeah. Because later you see that... I'm sorry. Like, if my roommate and I live with my friend, this guy Mike. Like, if I was like, hey Mike, I want to get matching pillows, he would call Cedar Sinai. He would be like, Carrie, I'm 5150ing you. Mike would let's monogram a pillow together. Mike would be
let's go to Frite and get some monogram sheets. There also, those sheets cost minimum $1,000.
Like, why? You're gonna live with this girl for a week
for one set.
For 1 week.
You're living, also not an apartment, a hotel.
You're living in a fucking hotel. And
they have sheets there.
They have sheets.
They have tons of sheets.
I just think it's bizarre and very, like, grow up.
Yeah.
You need to grow up.
They love acting like little girls.
Yeah. Frette.
Monogram.
Monogram.
Get our monogram sheets.
Yeah. J&D. In the empire. J&D forever.
Dabney chose the monograms. I don't like them.
Dabney chose the monograms and I don't like the font. But like, I'm serious, like, think for a second. Like, I'm trying to think, like, if I was like to my, like, I'm, that is so bizarre.
Yeah,
girl or guy.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, I know, it doesn't compute.
Get a fucking life, Dabney.
Get your sheets with no monogram.
Yeah,
just, how about,
why don't you just use your hotel sheets and save some money
to
move into an actual apartment and not a hotel.
Whoa. Then we have like at least 5 minutes of Jules terrorizing a cleaning lady.
Yeah, this was actually like kind of hard to watch.
This is where things take a dark turn. You're like, oh wow, this like openly racist woman
is
actually horrible and has victimized someone on camera. And then like, I guess the crew just sat around filming her.
Dabney's nervously texting in like the other room. Like,
Dabney's like texting clearly someone Dabney, being like, she's at it again.
Yeah,
like,
clearly Dabney.
Like, unable to like say anything.
Exactly. And clearly Dabney like doesn't Dabney.
Dabney.
Dabney. Clearly Dabney is, you know, I think classy and like does not, would never talk to someone like this. But like, she's not intervening. Complicit. Yeah. I would go in there and I would be like, get the fuck are you doing?
I just don't think I would even be around someone that was like doing that in the first place.
But she's, even if she's doing it for the camera, this woman doesn't know that she's like this. This is just someone trying to do their job, and she is clearly terrified of this girl.
Yeah.
And at one point,
and also it's like fucked up. It's just fucked up. I didn't even think of it until you were saying it takes like a dark turn that's uncomfortable. But like, there was an entire crew there that were like, just letting this happen
to this poor woman,
like, this woman was being like verbally abused,
and she's probably like,
she's probably like, can't be like, no, I'm not gonna go clean that. She can't like leave her job or else she's gonna get in trouble.
And even if it was for the show, unless this woman was an actress, like, if she's an actress, I nominate her
for your consideration, because
she's on a billboard on Melrose.
She's killing it. But I don't think she was an actress.
And then Jules says the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. The woman put the monogram pillow upside down, like the. And Jules goes, she goes, in our country, we don't spell upside down. And I go, so what country do they do that, Jules?
Yeah.
Oz? Like, what the fuck kind of, like, topsy-turvy world are you talking about? No one writes upside
She's
down.
She's like, this isn't Australia.
Like, are you... That makes me like, oh, not only are you a cruel...
You're just dumb.
You're just a dumb person who is, like, not intelligent.
Who's, like, looking to just be, like, hurtful for no reason.
In our country, we don't spell upside down. Like, cool, because I don't think any country does that.
Literally, unless, no country spells upside down.
Maybe a country of bats. Maybe in the land of bats. The kingdom of bats, they spell upside down. Like when they're upside down hanging.
I believe that Jules has been to a country where it does spell upside down, but she thought it was a country, but it was really just like Hades.
Yeah. Like, I that really, not only was that mean, it just was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Anyway. So,
so she just like follows this woman around berating her.
Yeah. And she's like, God, it's so fucking stupid. You can't just do your fucking job. Like she was just like,
can you just, like, do a nice job, not, like, the crappy job you usually do? She's, like, holding, like, a cable box.
Yeah, they've been there for a day.
She's holding, like, a bunch of cords running around with, like, a remote control in her hand.
Yeah, and they've probably been there for a day.
Yeah.
Like, what other job has she done? Like, it was just so weird.
And she's, like, trying to slam doors after this woman. It's just, like, very awkward, but further proof, in case you weren't fully on the side of Jules is a monster.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, Jules is a monster.
I applaud the woman for being stony, though.
Yeah, I'm just like not non-reactive. Yeah. That was the right choice.
So Alex and Dabney decide to throw a single life party for Tinsley. At Butter. And they it's like a bunch of their girlfriends and Dale and Jules. And they sit around a table and pick out... They each bring a blown up photo of a man they want. What?
Just the game of that they do during this single party is wild.
They each have a photo, a blown up photo on
like a headshot.
A headshot on like a piece of cardboard of an eligible bachelor.
Like with a border on it.
And
like America's Next Top Model style.
They're like, Tinsley's never dated. And
so one
Alex
theme,
seems to have made a full recovery from her debilitating eye injury.
Alex is doing okay.
Alex is bounced back quickly, thank God.
So one thing that I don't think either of us were surprised at was that every man was white.
Yeah.
And they all were
Jules just, was like an old, like an Irish
Facebook.
Drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, the last person that would ever want to like recommend a suitor for me is Jules Kirby. She goes, this is Mike Riley. I was like, even that name, like I already know, like I have no interest in Mike Riley.
He looks like a frat boy.
Yeah.
Like it was like some Facebook photo of some like frat guy who like called me faggot once.
like lit a cross on fire, like as a joke once.
And she's like, this guy would be great. And
she's like, this is Mike Riley.
Yeah.
Like, okay, great, Jules.
You did the assignment. Thank you, Jules. And then she went down and, like, sipped her wine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
And then, you know, they all go through there and all of them, a lot of them have blurred out photos, blurred out faces. And then Dale goes, I have someone. She goes, in an ideal world, this is who my eligible bachelor would be for you. And then she holds up a photo of...
She's like, someone smart, someone charming, someone who is a wonderful choice for you. And then she's like, and my pick is...
And then she holds up a wedding photo of Tinsley and Topper. A photo of him and it's blurred out.
Truly the mega troll of the century.
And she smiles and she goes, what? And then she goes, where's the applause? Where's the laughter? And Tinsley's like, wow, mom, wow. That was just really... And then it's like clearly... And like even Jules is like, ooh.
Jules is like weirded out, which to get any sort of emotion out of her takes a lot. And then like Dabney real talk, like shames Dale. Yeah. And then you can tell that Dale is actually like incredibly embarrassed about the whole situation. She goes, she's like smiling and she's like, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
But it was like... She knew she fucked up. Yeah. I think producers were like, Dale, you know what would be wild is if in this scene you just like held up a picture of Tinsley and Topper.
Mean.
And then Dale was like, that would be funny. Yes, I love that idea.
Tinsley
and
was then legit did it. Like
Tinsley was traumatized. Yeah. Dabney went into like fight or flight mode.
Yeah, she was like in fugues.
Jules felt something for the first time in decades.
And Alex was like pressing charges.
My eye.
Yeah. Alex is picking. You look at Alex. She's like a shard.
A shard of glass.
Yeah.
It's like a 6-inch shard. She grabs it, but then it just keeps going and going.
It's like in Black Swan. She holds the. She plucks the feather and she holds it, and you see her eyes are all like red and bloodshot.
Yes. Alex is fully like going through like body horror this entire season.
Alex comes home that night and like coughs up like.
An like, ice cube.
Yeah. Or like a... She coughs up like some like thatch.
Yeah.
And she just had it. And it's like slowly something's happening to her body.
Yeah.
And her husband is like, honey, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. And she like, there's some blood on the thatch. And she like flushes it down the toilet. And she's like... But she's like slowly like her hands are starting to like fall off.
Yeah.
Like something happened to her.
Something is going wrong. And she thinks it's from this glass that was thrown at her. But it's actually like far more sinister than she could ever imagine.
So that was happening for her at the single life party.
Yeah. The shard.
So it was a lot of... a lot
she
of
was sharding hard at the table. So she didn't have time to like address Dale.
But my new quote in life is, where's the laughter? Where's the applause?
I love Dale's little cocktail, like daytime luncheon dress.
She tried.
She really did try, and I love her for it.
I
know
love
that
Dale.
She was so embarrassed.
She was, I think she thought it was like, what's your ideal? I don't know. She was.
I don't know what she thought, but she thought wrong.
We love you, Dale.
We love you, Dale.
They go to a cancer benefit at the Marquee, which is like, LOL, that there's a cancer benefit at the Marquee, because it's like... Yeah.
A nightclub.
It's a very nightclub.
Paul goes, how ironic that Jules is at a cancer benefit when you're the girl who faked cancer.
I love that.
He's not wrong.
But like, he doesn't explain it, but we're just taking his word for it.
She faked cancer. Jules is just like word on the street cancer faker.
Yeah.
I believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, he kind of did. Didn't he in the first episode? It was like
her parents cut it off.
So she was like, I have cancer, actually. But, smart.
Yeah. I believe him.
Yeah. 100%.
But I love, like, that's like a rumor floating around. Like, if that was ever a rumor floating around about me that I faked an illness to get money, I would like go into hiding.
I wouldn't go
on a TV show.
Well, I don't think that you could even start that rumor about anyone unless they actually did it.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And when there's fake cancer, there's...
When there's fake cancer, there's someone who said, I have cancer.
When there's a rumor of fake cancer, it's because someone went, I have cancer.
I have cancer, yeah. And then it turned out to be fake. Like, you can't be like, oh, he faked cancer. Yeah. And then everyone in your life is like, well, Carrie never said anything. So, like, there's no cancer to be fake.
Yeah. Something had to have gone down.
Yeah.
So
Paul apologizes to Alex by saying, he goes, it was totally, like, unintentional, and I'm sorry you got in the way.
Yeah.
Which I love that non-apology.
I also love that, like, you hear Paul doing a voiceover being like, I'm going to go apologize to Alex, and you see him, like, greeting her, and Alex puts her hands up. Like,
Alex is terrified.
Like, genuinely, like, don't come near me. But she takes it somewhat well.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I just hate it. There's something really affected about the way she talks. And mm-hmm. she goes, a real gentleman would have offered to pay for the dry cleaning. And I was like, well, you know what? Alex?
Look around. There are no real gentlemen.
Paul's great.
Paul is a real class act. I love he goes, I'm going to this benefit to like honor my mom who's been in remission for like 10 or 11 years. Yeah. Like, I love that he like,
10
doesn't
to 15
even,
years.
Doesn't really know. Yeah. Chic.
But like, we get a little backstory. We get a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't fake it, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Alex sets Tinsley up on a date with Brian Mazza. He was kind of hot.
He was really hot.
In, like, that douchey New York, like, club promoter way. But a sweetie. Yeah. I want to do a wellness check on him.
He probably would have been a great partner.
Wait, also, the week, literally, I kid you not, that we released this past episode, Prince Casimir was married.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so Brian Mazza.
We're on Brian Mazza's
check. He is, like, a trainer now.
He's on the cover of Men's Health.
Yeah. And he's a husband. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Damn. Oh.
Tens.
Jesus.
You could have had this.
You could have had. This Aww. Guy is a hot.
He's a. Holy shit. He's
Damn.
Like a.
He's such.
He's an Insta model.
He's like a full Instagram model married to like just like a regular lady. I love that.
He's probably so in love with her.
Yeah.
Look, he just has a photo of her by herself.
On like a red carpet.
Pregnant.
She's like, I love this lady. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for everything. Cannot believe we're going to have two little boys.
Oh, they're having twins. Soon. She's beautiful.
Wow.
But I love him just celebrating his wife.
He loves his wife and he really loves working out.
Yeah. Wow.
Damn.
His body is insane.
His body is, he's shredded up.
Sorry, I'm eating.
No, it's okay.
I had an emergency.
Oh, my God. Brian.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jackpot.
Damn. Okay.
Whoa. Okay. You guys got to go to Brian Mazza on
Instagram.
He has,
like, watermelon.
Scroll down until there's a picture of him crouching on a field.
Bubble ass.
He literally might as well be naked. He's wearing, like, leggings. He's so hot, and his ass is just like, I'm ready to human centipede.
Me too. Laura and I are going to human centipede.
I'll take the back and you can take the front. And then we'll just human centipede it the fuck up. He's the middle.
Oh my God, go back. God.
Damn.
He's a gay baiter. That's like when you know, that's when you know you've made it. When you're a hot Insta model and you're gay baiting. Tinsley. What the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah, and then Prince Casimir is married. Which is weird coincidence that he literally got married like the day that the podcast episode came out.
We need to talk about him in a second.
We will.
So Paul and Alex bury the hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
Tinsley goes on a date with Brian, and
they go to Felipe. Know where that is?
No, it's on the Upper East Side, but like it. Okay, this is. I'm just very.
It's like a
no
bad,
shade to the Upper East Side, but like, I'm really darked out by Tinsley and her taste in New York, because she's like, I love Felipe. It's like there's so many. There's all these like nice upscale restaurants that are just like they're kind of like, you know. They don't really have a carrot. They're just like there.
Yeah.
On the Upper East Side. And like all these like Upper East Side rich people just eat there.
Mm-hmm.
And Tinsley is saying that that's her favorite restaurant. Like they're all kind of like 50 plus.
Yeah.
And
she just
loves,
has like an old sensibility.
She's like 70.
Yeah.
And she's like, I used to go here with Topper.
They all know me here. Oh my God. Like, they're gonna, like what are they going to think of me?
It's like Goodfellas when they like go into the.
They go in the kitchen uh-huh. and then go down into like the fucking dungeon to eat dinner.
Yeah.
And, like, Brian made sure that they could just have a private room for their dinner.
It was sweet.
It was sweet.
He found out what her favorite restaurant was.
Yeah, and he seemed nice. And then Tinsley, like, orders a chicken satay, and she's like, it's my favorite. Like, she's just being, like, silly. And she's like, I feel like I'm in high school. Like, blah. And it's like, when you think about it, that's the only time that she ever dated, and that's when she met Topper. So she is kind of in a high school mentality when it comes to dating.
Yeah, she didn't develop.
Yeah.
But she also says there's this amazing part where he goes, it's really hard to date New York. And she goes, oh my God, that's so funny. And then they just both laugh. We're like, ow. I'm like, what?
They have nothing to talk about. And then her voiceover too is like, we had a really fun time. We can talk about anything. It's like
drinking wine and laughs. So basically
they like left their phones on the table too.
She gets kind of shit-faced.
She gets full-blown schwasted.
Blackout.
She's blackout drunk. She's wearing her tank top and skirt with mm-hmm. no coat in and sleet rain.
And little booties.
And her little booties. Yeah. Her ankle booties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her ankle boots are like the most ankle boots of all time.
So booty. And like, then they go ice skating, which
she's
is like
I have a surprise for you. And it's, first of all, is it March or is it like,
I feel like it's Christmas time. But isn't that ice skating rink? It's not up all year round, is it?
No, it's only up. It's like Thanksgiving through like January or something.
So I feel like it's like must be around like Christmas that they are going.
Or it's in February because she goes to Fashion Week, which is like around January or February.
Oh, true.
So maybe it's like after Christmas, but which is also like, I don't want to go ice skating at Rockefeller Center if it's not Christmas.
No, I've never wanted to, and I don't. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like not on my to-do list. But I feel like for Tinsley, it probably, like, it's sweet. She's like, oh my God, I want to go ice skating. I love it. And he's like, it's raining.
It was cute.
It was cute.
But she's not wearing a coat.
She's must be freezing.
Like, put a coat on.
Just put a coat on.
You're wearing a shoulderless dress.
Like, it's so cold that he probably is not even going to offer her a coat because she's, like, too cold to take his off.
He's, like, shivering, holding the umbrella as they make out.
And then
you see, you don't see, you just see their little, like, their legs.
Yeah. Tinsley's little booties, like, shimmying back and forth.
And then they kiss.
And then Tinsley says that she had an out-of-body experience, but like a bad one.
Yeah.
And in that moment that she was kissing him, decided that she's not ready to date.
That she only wants to date Kazmir.
Yeah.
But she's basically saying, like, I've only ever been with Topper, and kissing anyone else feels
weird. And like, I'm now with Kazmir, and like, I'm just going to continue to be with this like psycho guy.
Yeah. But so, sorry, Brian, but he had a good,
one. And now look at him. He's doing great.
He's doing great.
Mazel on the new kid, Brian.
Mazel on the twins and the bubble ass.
Mazel on your fucking body.
And men's health.
Damn.
And
whew.
Yeah, follow him. Brian Mazza.
Brian Mazza. Jules goes downtown to hang with poor people.
Jules literally says, every now and then I like to go downtown and hang out with poor guys. To the Lower East Side.
Also, no one's poor on the Lower East Side.
No one downtown is, it's like wealthier than the uptown.
This was still playing on the idea that like downtown is shitty and uptown is like wealthy. It's like literally if you're on the island of Manhattan, you're wealthy.
It also makes me think that she like doesn't actually live in New York. Like I feel like she lives in like the Hamptons or like Connecticut and like never, like only comes in the city to go to like Midtown clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And like it doesn't sound like someone who knows New York. Not to like be like,
you don't know New York,
but like,
well, it just seems like
even rich people know that downtown is
typical narrative.
Yeah. Like rich people like you don't know you
no
don't,
one is like no uptown one's poor. Versus downtown.
Yeah, it's very like, oh, you live in like Greenwich.
Yeah,
you're coming on the train.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jules, so she goes to a bar on the Lower East Side with her two friends to
her
go.
Her friend Cleo, and she's like, Cleo's Asian and French, so she gives me that edge that I need to be down here. Basically saying, like, she's not white, so that's what makes it okay for me to be, like, downtown.
She's gorgeous. But the only time she can be with people of color is when she's slumming it?
I guess.
Okay, cool.
They play, like, Dare Bing Pong. Beer pong?
Yeah,
I don't even know. I don't speak beer pong, so Jules, I don't know what that game was.
Jules says that she and her friends like to go and play with the guys. Like, we like to, like, she's like, we like to mess with their heads because they're poor and they don't get it. And she's like, I love being with blue collar people and doing blue collar things.
Literally, no one is blue collar that you're hanging out with.
But also, like, no one, like, wealthy people don't say that.
No.
I don't think.
I feel like Jules is being told to say this stuff and she's just like, whatever, like, the show's not going to happen. Yeah. And then, like, smash cut to the show fully happened and she was on camera saying all this shit.
Yeah, it's fun to hang out with blue collar people at a scummy bar. It's like, you fucking, it's like, asshole.
Those beards probably cost like $16 a piece.
And they were like night with a nice guy.
With a nice guy.
Who looked like
well-dressed. Making out with him.
Yeah.
Then Jules gets like a chat, like she gets a dare to show her ass, and so she like moons everyone.
Yeah, it's like a Tuesday night. There's no one there. She
the bright lights of the camera.
Yeah, she reveals her blurred ass, and like I just was like, oh
yeah,
I don't want like,
no, I don't need to see that.
After a long day at work, I don't want to see that. I felt like Aunt Fanny,
and then
Aunt Sassy. Sorry,
Aunt Fanny.
Aunt Sassy.
Then they're all like drunk on the street, and one of Jules' friends is like asking some rando if they have a cigarette, and Jules goes, "Don't ask him. People like don't have jobs around here."
Yeah, that was a great troll the producers left in. They like zoomed in on her after
Jules.
She said it. But I love. What actual person?
What are you thinking? Like, who says this shit?
I don't know. But also, what person says, I love to hang out with blue-collar people at a scummy bar? I don't even think, like, super, like, the people that...
Jules, like, does not know what a blue-collar person is.
Right, but I also don't even feel like the people they're pretending to be, like, the high society people, probably say that?
No.
Maybe? I don't know. Or just in public? I don't know. But something is wrong with that girl. She also got, like, really... I think she got, like, a little, like...
I'm just still, like, reeling from her being, like, this is Mike Riley.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, Jules. Like, I would stay far as fuck away from anyone that Jules' career would recommend. Mike Riley, it sounds like a fucking date rapist.
I'm just saying that.
Like, he literally, like, roofied. No, Jules goes out with Mike Riley, and Mike Riley, like, roofies girls.
Mike Roofie Riley.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call him Roofie.
Mike Roofie, a.k.a. Mike Riley.
Yeah.
He's, like, some fucking bloated Irish drunk.
He looks like a frat boy.
He's, like, balding.
Yeah, he looks like a frat
Thanks,
boy.
Thanks, Jules. It sounds like, really, someone Tinsley would love to go out with Mike Riley.
Mike Riley sounds like the name of someone who's, like, part of, like, a pact of, like, a few frat boys who, like, accidentally killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mike, it's, like, a name that you see, like, you know, like, when you hear about, like, frat boys hazing.
Yeah.
You see the list of, like, you know, culprits, and Mike Riley is always in there. Like, there's always a Mike Riley.
And it's always, like, you don't just call him Mike, you call him Mike Riley.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those guys that just goes by the full name.
Or just Riley.
Yeah.
Yo, Riley.
Riley. Is Mike Riley coming tonight?
Is Mike Riley coming tonight? Oh my god. I just got like, oh, that's so Jules. That kind of
that energy.
Mike Riley's coming.
Guys, Mike Riley's coming later.
Is he coming tonight?
Yeah, Mike Riley's gonna bring Coke.
Okay. Yeah, Mike Riley's dealer is like, he's like our friend now.
Yeah.
It's like weird, but he's like coming.
Whatever, they'll be here soon.
Whatever. He's not white.
He's like a downtown guy.
Yeah, he's like downtown.
He's like blue collar.
Yeah. Mike Riley, talk to me.
Oh my God, Mike Riley, I love you.
I love you, Mike Riley. Mike Riley, stop. Oh my God, Mike Riley, stop.
Mike Riley, stop.
Mike Riley, come here. You're so
Jules
cute.
Jules half-assedly being like, Mike Riley.
Yeah.
This is Mike Riley. She pulls like a limp piece of paper out.
That was so, you're right, that was so bizarre.
It was bizarre.
And like everyone was like
everyone's like, thanks, Jules. This guy looks like fucking crazy. Like, that looks like a guy who would roofie.
Yeah. Alex has like this great like Brian Mazza glamour,
like a hot
shot.
Brian Mazza with like a full modeling. Like modeling, who's like, wow, that's like a sexy guy. Someone else has like a guy, they're like, it's like Carter Thompson, which is like, sounds like a guy that Tinsley would like.
Yeah.
And then Jules is like, this is Mike Riley. He can do like 3 keg stands in a row. It's like, okay, Jules. This is Mike Riley. He loves St. Patrick's Day.
One time on St. Patty's Day a few years ago, he did a line while chugging from a keg. And I thought that was, I don't know, I thought that was cool.
One year, Mike Riley died for 10 minutes and then got his stomach pumped and came back to life.
He was dead.
He was dead, clinically dead, for 10 minutes.
We go to his parents' house every summer in the Hamptons. They have like this super like cool place. It's like right on the beach. It's really nice. His dad is a judge.
It's like Mike Riley just like wears boat shoes, yeah, and like shorts.
My dad and his dad are friends.
Yeah.
Like they were like, they do like law together. So that's how I know him.
Tinsley does not want to date Mike Riley. Safe to say she does not want to date anyone who Jules. Yeah. We met when he roofied me.
But then we realized like our dads
worked together, and it was actually like hysterical.
It was like so funny. Like we were like, oh my god, like you're Mike Riley. Like I've known you, like, yeah. But anyway.
This is Mike Riley.
And she like takes a sip of her wine. She sits down.
She like finally just like shoves it in her purse and then just like sips on her wine.
She turns to someone and goes, I'm bored.
She is. That's her entire energy doing this show, is like she's just doing it but like doesn't know why. It's like, Jules, take some agency over your life.
And then she texts Mike Riley and she's like, hey, what are you doing?
Hey, what are you doing?
She hear like,
want to get together and do some coke? Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? I met fucking butter. It's so awful.
It's so fucking lame.
Tinsley goes, or Alex is sitting next to her, she goes, are you speaking your text out loud? Like, you just said that to the table. And Jules looks up and she's like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Like, fuck. Whatever. And then she, like, takes...
She just, like, throws her phone.
Yeah, and she just leaves.
Leaves.
I'll see you later, Dab.
Bye.
I'm gonna go hang out with Mike.
She probably went and fucked Mike Riley, like, right afterwards. Mike Riley was probably the guy that she's fucking right now.
Yeah.
Love being like, this is Mike Riley. I'm fucking him.
We fuck last night.
We fuck, but he's fun or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like when we do coke sometimes.
Yeah.
And like
every once in a while.
He doesn't get hard, but like whatever.
Yeah.
He's cute. And he's like, he's not. Like, he was cute.
He was like in high school.
Yeah, but he's like not cute.
Yeah, like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Also one thing I noticed was when they're making out, when they're making out, you hear the music from the roller rink, and it's, they have like music that they added in, but the editing was really bad that they didn't take the music out from like the AER.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you hear day and night.
Amazing. I didn't even catch that.
As the music's like this cascading romantic song is playing in the background, you just hear.
My God, I loved that song when it came out.
So that time. Day and night. Day and night.
Can you imagine romantically making out your Tinsley? You're on like a beautiful date, and then that song, you know, she's like tensed up,
yeah,
when they, like, and didn't want to be making out with, like, this guy.
TMJ
either.
Off the wazoo.
Clutch, yeah. She's like holding, and like
her butt is clutched, like, yeah, everything is just like,
she's like hates also to be like making out on camera.
It's so uncouth.
Yeah. Then Tinsley goes to Paris Fashion Week.
Oh, that was great. That transition. She just like, goes off to Paris Fashion Week,
and it's then just, it's like, just in Paris,
in
and
Paris.
She goes, Paris and fashion go hand in hand.
Paris, and she goes, I'm known
the
in
word
New York.
Paris and the word fashion just goes go hand in hand. Like goes, a bowl.
like a ball or a picture frame. She goes, in New York, I'm known, but in Paris, I need to get my brand out there. So I'm one thing I was like, okay, I actually admire her for just being like a hustler.
Yeah.
She's like,
shameless branding.
I need
she branding. She got front row with Chanel.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. She goes,
I'm sitting next to Katy Perry and Rihanna.
And Rihanna's face is blurred. Which Katie's,
you know, like Katy wanted hers to be blurred, but didn't feel comfortable setting that boundary. So she was just like, sure, no, I'll sign it. Like,
yeah.
Sure, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like forever on High Society.
Yeah.
Rihanna's aunt was like, no.
Rihanna, I have a great screenshot of just Katy Tinsley and just this.
Like, they blur her entire body. Yeah. Rihanna's like, not this only do I not want my face, I'd want none of me in the show.
Yeah, she went, it was like.
Katie's like, uh-huh.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's great.
Sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like no boundaries, but also like desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Just, she's like, in her mind, she's like, gotta get my brand out, even though she's so famous at that point.
She's so famous, but she's also like, doesn't want anyone to hate her if she says no. So then she just ends up saying yes.
Sure, that sounds good. What's your name? Tammy? Tamsy?
Tamsy has a new show.
Yeah.
What's your show? On the CW. Ah, like,
yeah, this, Robin, this is, to Rihanna, she's like, this is Tamsy. Tamsy, right? Or Tinsley. This is Tinsley, and she has a new show. Isn't that cool? And Rihanna's like,
sure. Also, this is when Rihanna and Katy were friends.
Yeah, you know, when Rihanna, like, planned Katy's bachelor party.
So they probably came there together.
Yeah.
And, like, then were both asked to sign a release, and Rihanna was like, no. And then Katy was like, yeah. While they were there at a friend thing,
yeah,
together, well, sitting.
And the way she said it, Katy Perry and Rihanna, like that was, that used to be like.
They used to ride hard
like
together. Yeah. Wow.
I love that Rihanna was blurred though.
She knows better than get involved with this mess.
She's amazing.
She's like, this will bring my brand down. She was right.
Katy, that maybe. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
I'll be on this. What network? CW, yeah, okay, that's like, okay, cool, yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And then, like, acts really, like, make sure that she is pictured looking so happy to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it must be stressful being Katy Perry.
I know, just running.
I feel like she's always on the run. She's really nice. I'm glad she's getting married. Tinsley. And
she gets a moment with Carl.
Yeah, she fully has, like, a conversation with him.
And he's like, you look great.
Yeah. She's like, you make me want to wear black, and I never wear black.
Yeah.
And then she's a Sheena energy, kind of.
She does. But I love this, this girl when the headset's like, you literally have 2 minutes.
Yeah. Make it count.
Yeah.
Then he's like.
But that she, God bless her. She got her little fanny back there.
She got in there. She went and sat. Do you know how hard it would be if you're just like kind of a random, which Tinsley was, not to everyone, but like to most people.
Yeah.
To go sit on the front row Chanel fashion show with cameras filming your reality show next to A-list celebrities and still like hold your ground takes a lot.
I love Tinsley.
And Carl's like, black looks good with blonde hair.
Yeah, he's like, you look great. Yeah. You're nice. I gotta go, but like it was actually nice talking to you.
Next. Then Tinsley is happy because her and Cassie get to hang out after the show. Which is what she calls him.
Yeah, Cassie comes in from London. Casimir is like 6'9".
Yeah.
Like he's like so tall.
He's a huge giant.
He's like the guy from It Follows, like the naked tall guy that like walks through the door.
He is.
That's what he looks like.
Hi. Oh, little Temptown's woken up.
So basically, Casimir and Tinsley are taking to the streets. They're walking. And then we cut to Dale.
Dale's
back in New York, and she's heading to the New York Society Library.
Dale is on a mission.
She's like,
Dale takes to the library.
She says, my daughter Tinsley is dating a German prince. It is tragic. It is tragic.
She
goes, those German people are lovely, but let's face it. Their history isn't good.
No. And so she walks into the library on a mission.
So Dale goes, Dale is like, convinced that he's a Nazi.
You just said out into like the ether.
I was recording on my phone instead of the podcast mic. Dale is convinced that Casimir's family has ties to the Nazis.
She's just like, and I love that she's not going to research it on the internet. She's going to go to the library.
Dale doesn't know how to use the internet.
Reading through books, and you just see her going, what a history.
She goes, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
She goes, my goodness.
My goodness, my goodness.
Goodness gracious. What a history.
What a history.
And there's this amazing shot of her through the bookcase. Like, we see her, like, investigating. She just is, like, a perfect being to me. Like, I love someone, anyone who's, like, researching things on a book and being diligent and, like, having reactions.
Cross-referencing, just trying to, like, find what it is she's looking for. And at the end of her scene, she goes, I'm checking this book out.
Yeah. She also goes, she goes, Topper's family is, she goes, Tinsley's, she's basically, I love Dale, but she's kind
MAGA.
Of a white supremacist.
She's full MAGA.
She's a white supremacist. She goes, Tinsley's, with her genes and her blood, she's like, I don't want it mixing with the prince of German, a German prince. She's like,
Topper is American royalty.
He is an American prince. She goes, what kind of blood will we be bringing into this family? Like, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know, like, whoa, pump the brakes, Dale. But then, also, that's a sign of someone that's truly compelling, is if they can make it going to the library and checking out a book an interesting
thing. I know. I want a whole show of just Dale investigating things.
Dale is on the case.
She's a little, that's why she's kind of like Kristen.
She's a detective, Dale.
Yeah, she's like Kim Kardashian and Kristen. And when they like are on like the hunt for something.
I love Dale just like getting to the bottom of things.
Yeah, but her reaction, she goes, goodness gracious, what a history.
What a history.
So Dale is like gonna try to find a reason to like,
she's gonna expose, she goes, her mission now, she goes, I have to save Tinsley because she's found something that is so horrific.
Yeah.
That she has no choice but to intervene.
Yeah.
To save Tinsley's life.
You see her running her finger down the page.
She goes,
oh my God.
Looks up at the camera. I'm checking this out.
She is camp.
She's full camp.
Dale,
where was she
I
at
don't
the
know.
Met Gala? Her and Tinsley at the Met Gala is truly needed to happen.
But Dale is this perfect, like, she's actually the breakout star of the whole, like, everything she's in. She's a scene stealer.
She is a scene stealer.
She should have been on a soap opera.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
Her comic timing
amazing.
Is unreal.
But Dale's instincts are kind of good because we cut to Casimir in Paris and Tinsley's like, wow, I was, you know, it's sad not to have you in the same city as me. And he goes,
he breaks the fourth wall.
He goes to the producers. He goes, okay, stop filming. I didn't sign up for that.
Stop filming. This is not discussed ahead of time.
He goes, I did you a favor to Tinsley. And I was like, it was so bizarre. I was like, wait, is he like revealing that they don't actually date and he's just like a prop to her?
I think he's revealing that like he was not going to be on the show, but she asked him to be on the show and film scenes with her as her boyfriend. And so they're probably filming a scene that it's like, okay, we're going to film you guys at dusk, like walking on the streets of Paris and like have a conversation, like talk about your relationship.
Uh-huh.
And then she was like, just trying to make small talk or whatever, and is like, I'm sad in Paris when you're not here. And then he thinks that she's trying to like set him up to have like an argument or something.
Oh.
So then he's like breaking the fourth wall, but then he's being like a dick to producers. I love that they kept it in because it's just basically like, we tried to film a lot of scenes with this guy who was like not playing ball at all.
But also, I at first thought it was like, oh, he's uncomfortable, like he's not down to like play the reality game, like he's like, I don't do this, like I'm having a real, and I was like, oh, I kind of get it, but then
please don't.
But then I also, then he's like, you told me you were only going to film me from the side.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh wait, so he just wants good,
he's
shots
just, like,
of him
controlling.
Yeah, he just wanted like his profile and not his like full frontal face.
Also, I love that they are clearly at it trying to film this scene for hours.
I know.
Because, like, later it's dark and they still haven't gotten it.
He's like, we've been doing these shots all day.
Yeah. And he's like, do you want the shot going in or not? Do you want it or not?
Yeah.
And then he does a countdown.
Yeah, that was really abusive person does that.
Yeah.
Like,
the 10, 9, 8, 7, yeah, 6.
I'm gonna give you 10 seconds and you either, like, do what I say or I'm going to leave.
Get on board or get lost.
And you see Tinsley's panic.
Yeah.
And also when
also it's mean to do that to her. It's like her show. You know that she like really wants this.
When he broke the fourth wall, she was mortified.
Yeah. She's fully mortified.
Yeah. And then we cut to next week and Dale's
going to go confront at a gala.
Casimir.
Casimir, come here.
Come here, please.
Dale wipes her tears away with her own gown.
I know.
Iconic.
I mean, that episode.
Everything Dale does is gold.
Yeah. That episode, which I know I've watched a few times, that scene.
My goodness.
My goodness.
What a history.
My goodness. We'll film ourselves recreating that moment.
We need to.
And then post it.
I'm checking this book out.
My goodness.
My what a history. It's a me reading.
Goodness gracious.
Not narrative nonfiction. Yeah.
We'll be back next week for episode 3 of High Society.
High Society.
Watch on YouTube. It's on.
Watch it on YouTube.
Available. It's
so bingeable. Thank you, Guy Douglas.
Guy Douglas revealed himself in the crew.
Guy Douglas has not only a Patreon subscriber now. Thank you for that. Thank you for posting High Society online. But also, Guy has been around, like, in my orbit for a while.
That's funny.
And so,
what a surprise!
Shout out to Guy.
Also, shout out to Kenny, who I met. Or Kevin, sorry. I met Kevin at Lady Gaga. He came up to me and said he's a fan of Sup. And he loves your pod and he loves like what we've done. So thank you, Kevin, for making me feel great.
Thank you, Kevin.
And in a place where I already was feeling excited.
Do you know that
I love knowing another Lohan or Pumphead is in the audience.
I had a run-in with a reader named Kelsey when I was in New York. I was on the subway. And then a door, I was just like on the subway, like on my phone, and a door opened. I made eye contact with this girl. And then I was just like, okay, that's a girl. And then she came up to me. She goes, "Are you Lara? I'm literally listening to you right now." And held up her phone. And I was like, really exciting.
That is
shout
crazy.
Out to Kels.
Shout out to everyone.
Shout out to Tony.
Shout out to Tony.
For keeping it mostly chill until
shout out to
right
Dale.
Now. Shout out to Dale for checking out a book. I'm checking this book out. Shout out to Mike Riley.
Shout out to Mike Riley and shout out, God damn it, to Jules Kirby.
God damn it, Jules. She also has not been seen or heard from since 2010.
She's gone.
Do you think her family had her committed and lobotomized?
Yeah, I think they like Rosemary.
She brought shame to the family and so they just like took
they
care
Rosemary
of her.
They Rosemary Kennedy'd her.
Ugh, that's sad.
They did.
I hope, Jules, if you're listening,
And not racist or homophobic.
Yeah, and you've like you feel like you want to have like a moment where you're like, redeemed. This is not who I am anymore.
Yeah.
Reach out.
I
what is that?
Eyes wide shut. I will redeem her.
I will redeem
Someone
her.
Someone redeem Jules.
Someone please, please. Give your life
because
to redeem
we're sure
Jules.
As hell not going to.
No, I have things to do. I have a son to raise.
Anyway, thanks for having me back.
Thank you for being here.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.